It's the boss. I call shots
like a boss. In the gloss. My lip
gloss, I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance. And by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson. I got
And welcome in, everyone. I'm David Gal, the boss, sitting next to me, the gloss, and we are at the center of the universe.
In Radio La La Land. Good morning, L.A.
Good morning, L.A. The buzz is on. It's fun to be here. It was sort of fun to watch Carla try to get through security. Because there's a lot of security, obviously, when you try to get into Radio Row. But she is the gloss. She's got all these bells and whistles and pieces of jewelry and ornaments on her clothing.
I got spikes, rock studs, you name it.
And yet,
my pants are even electric. Good gosh, barely made it through security.
It was almost like an airport strip search for you to get into this building.
It's a lot to dress as a Raiders fan, let me tell you. You have to go. It's not easy to get in public places.
But nobody does it better than you.
Well, I'd like to think so.
And for a long time, 14 years, in fact, few did it better than Bob Golic, who will be joining us shortly. He had a great NFL career, 14 years, played defensive tackle. Probably his best seasons were with the Browns, but he did do a stint with your beloved Raiders.
In L.A., which is so interesting. And let's not forget, he was a star of Saved by the Bell as well.
Well, not to be
forgotten. He had a Hollywood career, and here we are in Hollywood.
It'll be great to have him. In fact, this show, usually the boss and the gloss. I guess it's the boss, the gloss, and Golic today, because he'll be with us on set for the duration of the show for 2 hours, and we have a whole bounty of top-flight guests coming up. Today, we're excited to have Kenny Mayne come, of course.
My gosh,
Kenny, the former ESPN host and a guy who's become integral to Caesars Sportsbook, and he can talk about all the lines and all the props that are poised for this big game this Sunday.
And for estrogen people like myself, he does a Sportsbook 101. It's great. So look that up.
That's
got some great content.
And then Trey Wingo, my doppelganger.
Yeah.
We'll be joining us later.
That is true. This is when I wish we weren't on radio. We need a visual for this. It's pretty good.
Well, years ago, it was in Indianapolis at Radio Row when the world sort of suddenly
mixed
the two of us.
Separated
right?
At birth.
All of a sudden, everybody realized, I'm Trey Wingo, or he's David Gal. Actually, I think I got the better end of that deal because that whole week, I was a celebrity. People were stopping me. They were asking me for autographs. Women were throwing themselves at me.
Well, I don't think all that stopped. You know, you need a bodyguard around here. We're going to work on that.
I like the sound of it. Well, it will be fun. We'll have Golic when we return, and we will be back.
This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. I'm David Gal, the boss. I've got Carla Dawson here. And now joining us for the duration of the week is
the man, the myth, the legend.
The legend, Bob Golic.
The hoss.
The hoss.
I don't know.
The boss, the hoss, and the gloss. I like it.
No, I should go last. I mean, you're already here. The boss, the gloss, and the hoss.
Well, you know that although it starts with the boss, she's really the one who goes first. I mean, she is the star. We're all just carrying her luggage this week.
Well, I tell you what. I usually physically actually carry people's luggage, but I'd be glad to do it now. And plus, ladies first.
Ladies
well,
first.
Aren't you kind?
Even if they are wearing metal spikes on a black sweater.
But I'm all about Raider Nation.
I know.
Can't be a
that.
Prince of Darkness without the spikes,
you
right?
You can't be. You look just like
this
the...
This is the don't mess with me look, right?
That it's worked very well.
Yes, Bob's sitting as far away from he as he as me as he possibly can this morning.
Well, that's the only seat we left him. He would have surely been closer. I will say this about Bob, which is really telling, is that, of course, he had a career that spanned many teams. He could have come in his Browns gear. But
yeah.
He knows his crowd, and he knows you, Carla, and you are dressed in Raiders gear as well, all black.
Yes, I am, all black. And it's, well, black is slimming. And, you know, since I finished playing, and it's been a constant fight, you know, keep that girlish figure. But, yeah, so I've been up and down, and I just figured that I look better in black. And it's just, it's kind of Raider-ish.
It's, you're repping the nation well, and you're looking good.
I mean, walking around in brown and orange.
Yeah,
I mean, I love playing Cleveland. I was born and raised in Cleveland.
Yep.
And but yet, you walk around, other than Cleveland, you walk around in brown and orange, people are like, Is it the Bengals? Or
it's not the best color palette for you,
well,
I've got to say, Bob.
I appreciate that.
Silver and black's got you.
That's one of the greatest things. When I first got picked up by the Raiders, and I put on my uniform, just a practice uniform for the first time, and I walked out, and I'm like, this just feels amazing. I mean, it literally felt like just incredible. And
did
I
you feel faster and stronger
immediately? I felt faster. Yeah, exactly. It was like I had had some kind of infusion. But then I got brought back down to earth when I was walking off the field, and we had just finished this practice, and I'm just like, this is so cool. And I saw Al Davis standing there. And as I'm walking up, and I look over at him, I go, hey, Mr. Davis, how you doing? And he looks at me and goes, how am I doing? I ain't won a blankety-blank Super Bowl since 84. How the blank do you think I'm doing? And I just kind of, like, was staring at him, and Howie Long was near me, and he kind of put his arm around me and pulled me away. He goes, don't talk to him. Unless he calls you over, don't talk to him.
Good advice, I
guess. Yes.
Well, let's talk about the Raiders for a minute, because they've got a new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels coming over from the Patriots.
And a new GM that came with him, Dave Ziegler.
You bet. So they're really changing the leadership of that team. So we don't need to go and look back at the John Gruden debacle. But here they come, fresh start. You had a soft spot for Rich Bisacci.
I really did.
He did a great job filling in.
You know what I love, Bob? You probably already know this, but you know when they lost the game against the AFC, the wild card game against the Bengals.
Right.
I have a picture of Rich Bisacci in his hotel room. With a stack of stationery, he wrote each player a personal note thanking them for playing hard for him, for doing what they had to do. Because, you know, it did not go well for a bit, and then they ended up winning the last three to go.
They played
we
hard.
We won't talk about the
Yeah, but problem. They overcame a lot of adversity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And he did such a great job. And if they had made him the regular coach, he never would have wrote another note. Because it would have been too busy.
Well, that's true.
But to get in there. And, I know that they've been having issues in Las Vegas since they got there. I mean, with the stadium, getting the stadium up, paying for everything. I mean, they've been behind on money with the stadium. That's what I keep hearing anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the thing with the coaches and the first-round draft choices.
Yep.
I mean, like, what the heck is going on here?
It's been tough.
Disaster.
Let me ask you this one thing you mentioned about Vegas, and I'd love to get to Josh McDaniels, but one worry I've had for the Raiders is Vegas is just not a good town to have a lot of young, high-income athletes running around. And Alvin Kamara this week is another example of that. Do you think that puts the long-term state of the winning for the Raiders in jeopardy? Is that going to be a tough town for them?
That was one of my first thoughts, just like that. And I don't know. I thought it was going to affect them. I also felt that it was a transient town because a lot of people coming in and out, but I found out there's like 1.2 million people in the metro area around it. So they do have a fan base, but there will be a lot of people coming into town from. But then again, we were in L.A., and if we went to a game against the Bears, there'd be Raider fans, and then there'd be Bear fans, and there'd be probably as many as we both had the same amount. So, I think the Raiders are used to, since they've moved out of Oakland, used to dealing with sharing venues with other fans. I looked up one time and I saw a Steeler, a guy in black and gold, being pummeled by guys in silver and black.
He was sitting in the
It was up in the top 10, and we're all standing on the sideline going, wow, that is just, my God.
You cannot sit in the black hole with an opponent's jersey. You cannot.
No, I know.
Any Raider fan knows that.
And then the ref told us, get out there. Coach is like, you're on the field. I'm like, look what's happening.
Look what's happening. All right, let me get to Josh McDaniels. Do you all like the pick of Josh McDaniels as the next head coach of the Raiders?
I do. I mean, that family has been great coaches and with great ideas and stuff for a long time. And I think that and one of the keys, too, for a head coach is to bring in good people.
Yep.
And to, you know, have those assistants and not just guys who are your buddies.
Right.
But people they usually end up being people you've worked with before, and that's I think the good part of it. He's done it before. He knows the people, and he's going to be good at it.
And he brought Dave Ziegler with him, which I think is so important because the coach and the GM basically runs the draft. The coach and the GM need to be simpatico.
I just watched the movie Draft Day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I was they were unsimpatico.
That's right.
At first, so they were having some issues.
Right, and you will have issues if you're not that way. And, you know, I look back at his coaching stint in Denver, which lasted 2 years, didn't go well. But you know what? I'm glad he had that. It was a long time ago. He's learned from it. This isn't his first rodeo.
Right.
And it's been a long time ago, and he's had massive success since then. So I'm looking forward to it. And that Raider offense, I mean, I hope you agree with me, Bob. It needs an injection of some life because they have – so much talent on that offensive side of the ball, and that play calling is stale.
Do you think is Derek the guy to stay in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I really do. I really believe in him as a leader on the field and off the field. I really think he is. I just think the play calling needs to be more. The offense needs to be more creative.
Yeah. Well. Let's take a look at about 80% of the teams around the league.
True.
And we can pretty much say the same thing, but it's the ones that are here that are able to come up with something. They have the talent, they have the people, and they know what to do with them. I mean, there's so many games. Yeah. I live in Cleveland now, so I was watching the Browns games, and they would kick butt the first half. Second half, they would just nothing would happen.
Yep.
And it's like the other team.
It's all about halftime adjustments.
It's like they made adjustments, and the Browns didn't.
Yep.
And that comes down to leadership.
It does. And that's where I think Derek Carr, I think he is obviously a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's elite, but he's great. And he's great as a leader. And that is an intangible that you can't really, you know, what he navigated them through with the John Gruden mess, followed by Henry Ruggs, followed by, you know, losing Darren Waller, his main target with injury. It's when I was in Las Vegas this year I was there for the Chiefs game in November. And I really saw, wow. The Henry Ruggs thing isn't just a headline that goes away. It's on every newspaper, every magazine, every news. That is the news in Las Vegas. And that team cannot escape it. It is in their face all day, every day, which really makes his leadership even more impressive, how they were able to come out of that.
And I think, too, you're talking about a fan base that isn't Oakland. So in Oakland, you know, not so much with Ruggs, but, you know, you can have certain things that you did, you know, like they did in the old days with Stabler and the guys, but and get away with it and go, wow, that's the Raiders. But, you know, in Vegas, they're trying to find an identity, and everybody that I've talked to out there says they don't want the black hole.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the black hole. They don't want that element. And I don't know if, I mean, that's the leadership in the city more than anybody else, but I got a feeling with all the fans they have in that Metroplex, I think that you're probably going to get whatever the Raiders. If the Raiders play the way they used to, black hole will be there.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we are just getting started. We're turning Bob Golic loose with Carla Dawson and having a lot of fun with Raiders. But when we come back, we're going to look at some of the other head coaching changes around the league. A very fascinating offseason. Some of the selections really do create some interest. We're also going to be joined by Kenny Mayne, former ESPN analyst, and now a Caesars Sportsbook. All that and more when we return here on Radio Row with the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we're going to have Kenny Mayne join us in just a minute to talk about all the prop bets and all the other activity you can bet on around the big game this weekend. But before he comes, we were talking about new head coaches, new coaches in different places, Josh McDaniel going to the Raiders. But one of the intriguing hires, I think, is about to happen here with Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator, coming in to replace Mike Zimmer for the Vikings. And O'Connell here is already, we're now talking about a Sean McVay coaching tree. I mean, Sean McVay, of course,
the younger Bill Belichick situation.
Well, he's been the anointed the genius very, very quickly, and then Belichick did school him in that last Super Bowl. But McVay now has his own tree, and it does seem that Kevin O'Connell is coming. How much comfort, if I were a Vikings fan, should I be excited about this hire? Does just the association with Sean McVay warrant this position for Kevin O'Connell?
I think as a player and as a fan, I don't think you're going to think about the McVay connection until you start winning.
Yeah,
it's going to come down to it, and people talk about the potential and what has this guy done before. The whole coaching tree thing is a great talking point later on, but right now the first thing it becomes is, are you going to help us win? Are we going to get better? Because Cleveland since 99, I mean, how many coaches they go through? Like 9 or 10 of them?
Yep.
28 starting quarterbacks.
And GMs.
And so if you don't win, it doesn't matter who you're connected. I mean, whose tree you're on.
Yep.
Although Matt Patricia not winning in Detroit got him here's another one under Belichick's tree that didn't win.
Yeah, Belichick was the guy that called all the plays. One of the things that they felt with Tom Brady, too. Brady was like, I'm going somewhere else, and I'm going to show people it was Tom Brady, not Belichick.
Yep.
Yeah, that, so true.
That is, it's hard to separate those two, but they did separate it.
Yeah.
And Brady's got a ring, and Belichick does not. Yet, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still got some time.
Okay, did either of you find it interesting in Tom Brady's, his Instagram post for retirement, which was February 1st, there was not really any mention of Bill Belichick at all, or the Patriots. It was, is that a snub, or is that, hey, that was my last place, I'm just going to... I thought that was really fascinating. It was a really long post. He had plenty of room to thank
Bill Belichick. Well, I was just going to say, I was expecting something else to up later. But he seemed to be very happy with what went on. And so I don't know what they did as far as how they left it. I mean, it was all very kind of close to the vest. I mean, they did what they did, and they separated. But for him to come, Brady to come back and do what he did down in Tampa Bay, I mean, it's just incredible.
It's incredible.
And it really is, and it just shows that Belichick. And now, of course, you've got new people in New England, and you're not seeing the response or the results that you had with Tom Brady. So, I mean, what are we supposed to learn from that? It was Tom Brady.
Right.
Well, I mean, and the coaches, too. We had Belichick in Cleveland at one point when he was first starting.
Yes, that's right.
And the players hated him. The fans hated him. And
really?
The media hated him because he was just obnoxious.
Did you play for him?
No. No, I was there with, I was 1 year with Rattigliano and then with Marty Schottenheimer.
That's right.
But
that's
it wasn't that they hated him, but he had the personality of that he has now, but he hadn't earned it. And I think people looked at it as just being kind of a pain in the butt. But, you know, now it's going back to, okay, was it Belichick or was it, is it Brady?
Well, it's so funny. It's an observation we've made before. You can be nasty to people if you're that successful, and Belichick was later.
Yes.
Right? We had Bill O'Brien in Houston, and he was nasty to people, but he was wildly unsuccessful, and so people couldn't wait for him to get out of town.
For a disaster.
Yeah.
All right, exciting moment here. We are listening to Carla Dawson, Bob Golic, and David Gow, and joining us here on set at Sports Map Radio, Kenny Mayne. You know him from ESPN. He's now a content creator and brand ambassador for Caesars Sportsbook. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great
Booyah,
to have you.
Booyah, Kenny. We're glad you're here.
And they let me make up bets for the Super Bowl. That's how stupid my job is.
Oh, my God.
It's legal. That was my first question because typically I'm the one suggesting things that are either illegal or no, we can't do that or, you know, some reason.
As a rule of life, you like to live on the edge.
In this case, they said, we have like 2,000 prop bets. Would you like to make a couple up? I was like, yeah, that's what a fun assignment.
Yeah, is there a refrigerator?
That's not mine. I got two. One is I played football at UNLV. I didn't play very much, but I threw a 59-yard touchdown pass in college. I actually threw the ball like 12 feet. It was a swing pass off a fake draw, 520 screen, I think we called it. And Michael Morton, Johnny Morton, Chad Morton, Michael Morton, same family, right?
Yep.
4-3 guy, Inglewood, you know. He goes 59 yards. So the prop bet on that one is, will a quarterback throw a 60 or greater length touchdown pass?
Very good.
That's an iffy, right? But the other one, I like this other one to play. Will there be a fumble lost, an interception, and a missed field goal? Will all three things happen?
All three.
Wow.
But I think there'll be an interception for sure.
Yeah, I do too.
Fumbles, there are fumbles. Will it be lost? I don't know.
Well, that D-line versus the Bengals O-line, we could definitely see that.
Oh, yeah, sacks, fumbles.
So
yeah.
I think that one's a fumble. I think it's plus 425. I don't know.
I mean, I'd like to put one in. Who's going to be the first player to tap themselves on the head and say, I have to come out because I don't feel good?
You want to name the players?
Well, that might be tough. That might be tough.
Name the team.
Which team's player is going to whine first and want to come off the field?
You see guys raise their head. Usually that happens more. He was imitating a guy getting hit because you can't see this because we don't have video. But I see guys, they raise their head like, hey, I need a minute. I need some water. I felt like that last night at the flag game. I'm old and
you did so well.
You
last
are not
night.
Old.
I
just
did.
Go there.
I was disappointed in the totality of my performance, but
he had sparkling moments.
I mean, yes,
I believe it.
I was erratic. Yeah. I had a few really good moments.
At the end, you had that run. It was like a quarterback draw.
Well, they blitzed me. We opened up with an option, and that's uncommon. And we were just doing it to screw around. It was fun to run an option. So then they got pissed on the other side and started rushing. Against Warner and Leaf, they were just like letting them throw. I think they didn't like me. I think
probably.
I think the refs were against me.
Ran that option, they actually said, "Go to get out there," and I said, "No." Options are like
been out there together. The most, I've seen him play flag football. He's good.
I would have pulled a handy.
Yeah,
the most fun.
God, you're like me.
James Harden.
Do you remember my guy Mike Smith?
Yeah.
The one arm receiver on the left side. Yep. Right. Man, he can play. He's a triathlete. He competes in military games, you know, like athletic events.
Yeah.
He's the captain of their team coming up in a month. Great guy. I've been playing with him for almost 10 years. And you've seen it. All the same faces, right? And then a few new ones. So
I saw Mike over there with Zeus.
Oh, yeah.
His dog,
Those who don't know, we're talking, maybe you already mentioned it, but it's veteran of military against veterans of the NFL and a bunch of other rando people. And it's just fun, man. And the only reason to do it is to do it. We do it to be together. And
they used to do it. It used to be called the a Wounded Warrior Amputee Football Team, because most of the guys and girls there are missing limbs, one, two, whatever.
Wow.
And but now it's become, they said, you know, where do we go from here? And they've gone into the, they call it now Sierra Delta.
That's B.J. Gannum's program where he is getting dogs to veterans who need them. And I met a couple of dogs last night. I'll tell you what, one of them I wanted to, It leans against you. Like, these dogs know what to do.
Right? Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
And it just melts your heart. And it's like, I felt better in that 2 minutes with that dog than I have in about a month, maybe longer, right? Yeah.
Well, they have service dogs. They train service dogs.
Yeah.
And then
so
they
these
also,
are big dogs.
And they also have something called a life buddy. And it's some of the guys I talked to, they said when we come back, loneliness is kind of because you're away from friends. You don't feel like you've got the things to do that you had before.
Sure.
But you see, you know, this life buddy is somebody that can take that loneliness away.
Oh, for
it's the dogs do.
As long as you're talking veterans, I'm going to plug my own foundation. So I ruined my ankle at UNLV. We were playing Oregon, last play of the game, fracture dislocation. I played the next year. Because when you're young, you know, you just do it. But
there's another prop bet.
Now I'm older.
First guy to break their ankle.
Come on. Now I'm older, and we started a foundation, my wife and I, because I got this new device that lets me, you saw me last night, no pain. I'm sore other places, but my ankle feels fine. It takes all the pressure off your joint. It lets you do things that you can't do that you'd have pain doing otherwise, right? And we now get these to veterans. We've done like 30 or more in about 3 years. Jamal Crawford, my friend and famous basketball player, he's been our key supporter.
Mm-hmm.
He gave $1,000 for each of my years at ESPN on my final show.
Oh,
wow,
that's
that was pretty
great.
Cool. Yeah. So no, we're making progress. We just need to get the word out.
27,000.
And doing
that's
it,
a nice contract.
Doing it like this, letting people know. It's called Run Freely, RUNFREELY, runfreely.org.
Runfreely.org. He's Kenny Mayne, and Kenny, we loved having you here. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
We will return, and we're going to have Trey Wingo up next here. You're listening to The Boss, The Gloss, and The Hoss, and Bob Golic, here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the SportsMap Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
So February is National Pesticide Safety Education Month, reminding you that safe pesticide use is no accident. Always read and follow the label to protect you and your surroundings. Remember, the label is the law. Find out more at PetSafetyMonth.com. Okay, we are Carla Dawson, David Gow, and Bob Golic. It is the Boss, the Gloss, and the Hoss this morning. And one of the fun things you had on our list of topics was, what uniform will this player wear next year? And you've got a list of players.
Wow.
And there's some really intriguing names on here, big names.
We've got an NFL star. I think he gets first crack at all of it. I really want to.
Well, we're going to go. I want to ask both of you guys. Some of these names are really intriguing and may well end up wearing different uniforms next year. The first one everyone's talking about, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Has his time run out in Green Bay? Will he be in the Broncos uniform or some other uniform? What about Aaron Rodgers?
He will be in brown and orange.
Oh,
next year.
Really?
I read something last night.
What?
There's something to
breaking
that.
Breaking news.
I read something. And evidently his girlfriend,
Shailene,
they like broke up, and she had told him that there's no way I'm going to go and live on the Great Lakes. And so now that they have an issue, who knows? There might be a chance. Aaron Rodgers.
Well, so they'd probably trade away or cut Baker, right? They bring in Aaron?
Yeah. I don't know. They're trying to – there's a couple teams trying to find I forget the guy's name – one of our backups, too. So, you know, we might have to keep – if Aaron came in, have to keep Baker to work. I mean,
I guess Baker's still in a rookie contract, so
yeah.
He hasn't signed the big monster
he's
contract.
He's got one
so
more year,
it could
so
keep
they
him
figure
as a
out what he's doing, right.
I thought they were going to keep him. I thought he would be their savior, regardless of how he played, until this season when the dog pound was booing him. I mean, they'd had enough. I said, okay,
yeah.
this is not the time.
But you know what? There's
it.
A lot of receivers that were dropping the balls, including
yes.
OBJ.
Yes.
Balls hit him right in the hands and fell to the ground, so I don't know if that was his plan.
Okay,
but, let's go.
But that gives good intel, Bob, on Aaron Rodgers, because I was going to say Denver. Because
yeah.
Shailene Woodley has
yeah.
a house in Boulder, and I was like, she didn't want to be in Green Bay. She's like, if I'm putting a ring
yeah.
on this finger, I am not living in Green Bay. But now, if they're on the kaputs,
yeah.
anything's up.
Well, the interesting thing, he needs to go to a team that's ready-made to contend. Browns have a lot of talent on that team.
Right.
So do the Broncos. They're both good picks for
but
a guy
you
who's
go to the new head coach of the Broncos.
Well, sure, they got Hackett coming in, and that
his
did
OC.
Presumably set things up. OC from the Packers now yeah. joining as head coach of the Broncos. Okay, let me go to another name. Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, man.
He had a pretty strong season there for the 49ers. I mean, they can't be disappointed. Nobody thought they'd get that deep into the playoffs.
I thought his comment was interesting of, I just want to go to a place that wants to win.
Right.
I mean, he just came from a place that wants to win. I mean,
yeah.
not only do they want to win, but
they're
able
did.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yes, twice.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little bit interesting. But I think he's a little wounded after them trading up for Trey Lance. So
yeah, I think he's going to move.
He's going to move.
Yeah.
I would love to see him. I don't know if it's likely. Tampa Bay. I don't know if he's going to want to take a backseat to Brady again.
I mean, how many years has Garoppolo played now? I mean, he's been in for a number.
Yeah,
years.
You know what, I'm going to look that
I might
up.
Say 6 years, but of course he's had two seasons marred by injury. He had
yeah.
several years where he was backing up Brady there in New England.
Right, I mean, he could be doing that again. But
he was drafted in 14.
But, you know, now that Brady's gone down in Tampa, I mean, it might be a good move.
Tampa
but
in need of a quarterback. I mean, they've got to get somebody.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, and again, they don't want to prove that it's all about Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady proved that in New England it was all about Tom Brady and not Belichick. Now we went and said it's all about Tom Brady and Tampa Bay. Now Tom Brady's gone, and now it's got to be about somebody else pretty quickly, or you're not going to have that good of a team.
All right, let me go to another name, Deshaun Watson.
Oh, boy, Bob, I'm going to let you take this one.
Anywhere, any place that, like pets him and said, "We love you. We can't wait to have. Oh, we're so going to be so good to have you here." I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. I think he'll take any opportunity, but I see him being a little bit more like OBJ, where he says, "I want to go to not like Garoppolo said, which is I want to go to a team that wants to win."
Yeah.
He goes, "I want a team that is going to win, that's going to get to the championship." So there's a little bit of difference there, you know, wanting to win and jumping on a team that looks like they're in the right direction already. So I got a feeling Deshaun's going to want to get that. I don't think he's going to get it.
I don't think he's going to get it either. I think, you know, his narrative before of, "I want to go to Miami." I mean, he likes that lifestyle. I'm like, looking at your history, you should be in Pittsburgh. Not Miami. Not
Call
Las
LeBron.
Vegas.
LeBron will get you down to Miami.
Right. I don't think Miami's going to touch him now. I mean, I saw the new coach, Mike McDaniel's, already talking to Tua, you know, and all of this.
Yeah.
I don't think Tua's their guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if Deshaun ends up possibly in Minnesota. That could be a good destination for him. I don't think they're married to Kirk Cousins. And, you know, Pittsburgh, the Steelers need a quarterback.
Mm.
And Mike Tomlin, he'd be a great coach for Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
He'd
tell you
whip
what,
that boy into shape.
I mean, Tomlin would be a great coach for anybody.
And they've never had a mobile quarterback like that. I mean, that
no.
would be heaven
no.
in Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers fans would love it.
As long as, I mean, Tomlin would have to make sure that he ran because they wanted him to, not because he had to.
Yep.
You know, not going to say, "Hey, you know what, I'm not going to find the receiver. I'm just going to go run on my own." I mean, when you go into a team that's not winning, you do that because you want to make an impression.
Yep.
But when you get to a team that has a reputation, that has a winning background, you know, you're the quarterback. You want to do what they want you to do and include everybody because they spend a lot of time bringing talented players in.
Right.
One thing I always loved about Deshaun Watson is he used his feet less to run, but more just to buy time. He always stayed back. He moved around and kept his eyes looking downfield. I mean, it's been a long time, it feels like.
Yeah.
But
he
Deshaun Watson was an extraordinary quarterback and will be again in this league, presuming he doesn't end up in jail or something awful of that nature.
But you're right.
Think of his matchup with Juju Smith-Schuster. That would be thing of beauty. That's like the Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins situation. That's really, that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, that's a very good point. The idea of, because you even see non-mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If they have the ability to move within the pocket.
Yes, Tom Brady did this so long.
Absolutely, or just get outside the pocket. Right. Those guys, you don't want them to waste time. You want them to be able to feel pressure, find a spot, move to another one if you have to, and find your receiver.
This is when we've been talking about Lamar Jackson is such a great runner, so electric. When he gets beyond the line of scrimmage, the speed, the movement out in the open field's really exciting. But to me, it will project better if he'd use his feet to buy time, which Deshaun does to make the throw that Tom Brady has done so well. Even though he's far less mobile than these two guys we're talking about. Yeah, Lamar, I think, that's the next step in his evolution. Now, there is a quarterback behind Lamar. They've got to make a decision, the Ravens do, on Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And Huntley didn't look too bad there, filling in for him. Is there any mystery in your mind about whether the Ravens will, I mean, this is a former MVP, give Jackson the big contract as he enters out of his rookie year, his rookie contract?
Yeah, I think they're going to give him the money.
I do too.
I think, Huntley, you always have a lot of good guys come up, and they can have big games or big couple of games, and then reality.
Defenses figure them out. Defenses are smart.
Well, you know, we had one game of the Raiders. We had Jay Schrader was our quarterback.
Oh, gosh, I remember.
He got hurt. You know, he could throw the ball through the iconic up in the statues up in the top, but there was never a receiver where he was throwing.
Details.
But, you know, he got hurt, and we put in Vince Evans during the course of a game. And we went, I think we ended up winning the game because Vince was more mobile. He ran with the ball. He did this and that. But the next week, Vince was the quarterback again, and they beat the crap out of him.
Because now there's tape on
Vince
Evans.
Vince Evans, and they knew. So, I mean, it's going to be the same thing.
Right. Okay, let me go to another name. Rob Gronkowski. Is he done?
Couch.
You put him on the couch.
Have you seen all the ads he's doing? He's got USAA. He's got some laundry. I mean, he's got so many ads going. And I think the only reason he came back was because Brady asked him to come back. But, Bob, you've got better intel. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. I think he's probably done, but I'm not going to look at – I mean, have you seen the commercials? They're not good. They're not good.
He's better on the football field than the commercials?
He's absolutely.
He's not a natural.
He's not a natural. I mean, if you look and say, okay, here, natural guy, Peyton Manning. I mean, he could have made a life on TV and commercials and did Saturday Night Live. I mean, it would have been he's
so
perfect.
Right.
A Gronk. No, he does that a thing, the whatever the you know the military,
and USAA.
And then he just says you know for the military and this and that, and he goes, hey, I'm pretty good.
I'm special. Can I come in?
Yeah, I'm special. I'm like, where the hell? First off, you got to blame the writers
for
that
that's
one.
That's what I think. That was a terrible.
but a lot of the good actors, and I say that as a product of Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Yes.
You can take bad scripts and make them work.
That's right. Look, you're making us work today, Bob. You're putting the boss and the gloss on a whole nother level.
I'm making you work harder.
Bob Golic joining the boss and the gloss. Let me give you one more name, Devontae Adams.
Yeah,
He goes where Rodgers goes. He's not going to stay in Green Bay if Aaron is not there.
Yeah.
I believe they are.
He won't be catching passes from Jordan Love.
No, he will not.
And he is a free agent, so this is a big time contract coming his way.
Yeah, I think, and maybe I'm too bold about that. I don't know. What do you think, Bob?
I think when a person learns where he's comfortable, he'd love to stay there. Or stay with the person who makes him comfortable.
Right.
And but I mean, you also got to talk about the amount of money that would have to change hands in order to bring both guys to Cleveland. Oh, did I say Cleveland again?
Cleveland's still top of mind.
Well, I love that. That's a fresh thought I hadn't thought about with Aaron Rodgers at all. And
like I said, I don't know. I mean, it was on the internet, so I'm sure it's true.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, then we're done.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Why talk
about
it?
Maybe last, right? All right, when we come back, I do want to ask you about a former Cleveland player, OBJ, who has really seemingly found a home and performed at a good level for the Rams.
He's behaving.
Want to ask, what transformation happened? We'll bring up OBJ. You're listening to The Boss, The Gloss, and The Hoss here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Broadcasting live from Radio Row, Carla Dawson, Bob Golic, David Gow. And when we went to break, well, let me say it this way. When I look at the Rams, I did not see them making the Super Bowl, and I go back to their whole series of things they did that surprised me have worked out. Trading for Matt Stafford, I didn't see him as a Super Bowl quarterback.
No.
But OBJ, adding him, I felt was almost a move of desperation. They had to fill an injury.
That was after Von Miller.
Yes, and the Von Miller move. But I saw that logic a little bit. I did feel like it was trading away a lot of the future for the present. But then in came OBJ, and OBJ strikes me as sort of a prima donna and a guy who doesn't add much to a whole team concept. Throw the ball to me, throw the ball to me. And I always worried that Baker Mayfield was trying to force the ball to OBJ.
Yeah.
You watched him in Cleveland. How is he a different player than he was? Have the Rams coached him to a higher level? What's taking place with OBJ?
I think he, you know, like being in New York and now being in L.A., I think he spent time in the Midwest and said he doesn't get enough coverage.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling that probably has something to do with that. I mean, they threw the ball to him a lot. He dropped it. I'm not accusing him of anything.
Well, he was injured a ton.
Yeah, and he was injured quite a bit, too. And he left, and he goes out there, and all of a sudden he goes out to the Rams, and he becomes, I'm just glad to be here. I'm playing behind Cooper Kupp. I mean, you're actually putting yourself behind somebody else.
Yep.
And so he came in with the right attitude, and it really suits him.
Well,
I hate to say it for Cleveland, had a great Jarvis Landry was his teammate in college.
Right.
And they should have been working things out well together.
And I wonder if it's, OBJ, we know he likes the bright lights.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a highlight reel waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. And just his antics of, kicking the field goal when he was in New York and then wearing a watch on his first day when he took, the first game with the Browns. He's always got something going on. But he gets out to L.A., and so this typical diva who's thought to be kind of a cancer in your locker room and all that becomes professional, charitable. He's out of the headlines. It's like, it's amazing.
So purgatory fixed him.
Exactly.
Well, it's a great thing for the Rams. It really worked out. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be joined by DeMario Davis, the linebacker of the Saints. We'll ask about their new head coach, Bruce Allen. Next up, Sports Map Radio.